Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. To our visitors, you honor us by choosing to worship God with us this day. We pray that you'll be encouraged and edified by the time you spend with us, and that you'll want to come back at your next opportunity. If you didn't look at the calendar and you walked outside today, you'd feel like it's the 1st of March, right? That wind, it's just like, was it March in like a lion, out like a lamb? It feels like March outside today. So God is good and God is great. Church, amen. It's good to be here today. So our starting point today is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And this is a very good scripture. It's one that some time ago someone gifted me a copy of this. It's on a little plaque. It's in my office at Tech. And sitting on the bookshelf, I've had many folks comment on it, saying that's one of their favorite scriptures. But it's a very poignant scripture and a very powerful scripture. So this is where we're going to spend some time today, just sort of looking at this scripture and what it has to say to us. But Jeremiah 29:11, "For I have thoughts, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Have you ever spent time and maybe just someone was on your mind and you just didn't know why? You know, they've been on my mind today. They've been on my mind today. They've been on my mind today. This is Jeremiah's way of saying that God's saying to people, "You've been on my mind. And this is what I've been thinking about towards you." And so this is sort of the starting point for us today. But imagine a moment in your life, or imagine a moment that you had been forced from your home and taken captive in a strange place. Imagine that. That someone came to your home, forced you of your home, maybe your family, and you were taken on a long journey to a strange place. That's the context of this promise. In fact, that's the background of this story. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." So I mentioned in Bible study class this morning, we sometimes think of letters like Paul's letters and Peter's letters and James' letters in the New Testament as sort of that was a new thing. But it was a very old thing. In fact, here's Jeremiah is being directed by God to send a letter to the people in captivity. So Jeremiah writes them this letter. And your memory verse is taken from that letter, this promise that God had made to them. In fact, and so imagine how important a letter must have been. I mean, here they are captive and says, "Hey, Jeremiah in Jerusalem sends a letter." And no doubt they wanted to hear from the letter. They want to know how things were maybe back home or how were things going there. But they also maybe looked for some kind of hope, some kind of promise, because Jeremiah had been the voice of God. In fact, in Wednesday night Bible study class, we've been studying from the old books of the Old Testament. And it failed to make my awareness until recently that Jeremiah almost wrote one-fifth of the Bible. I mean, this is how prolific he was. And he was a very important prophet. In fact, some people even argue in John chapter 1 is that he's the prophet they're referring to in John chapter 1. And so this was very important. And so this promise, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and give you hope." This is the promise for these. They have been taken from their home. Individuals and maybe whole families rooted and taken to a strange land, strange culture, strange food, strange appearances. No doubt they wondered, has God forgot us? Has God forsaken us? And God says, "Jeremiah, I need for you to write this down. I need for them to have something tangible to hold, to let them know I've not forgotten you." Clearly, God is saying, "I have a plan or blueprint for your life." And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not changed. God has a plan or blueprint for your life as well. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's something at school, maybe something at home, maybe something at work. Maybe, as Brother David prayed about, matters of your health. But God has a plan. He's not forgotten you. You are on His mind. Jeremiah also said in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. And so he opened the reality that God is sovereign, and it's not man making his own decisions sometimes. Sometimes it's God making decisions. Sometimes it's God leading. And sometimes it's God taking him through something he needs to go through to get to a different place. And so I saw this illustration the other day. I thought, man, that really sort of fits my lesson, because I can relate to this. You have your plan, you know. And you don't mind a little effort, right? You know, pedal the bike up a little incline and you pass the finish line and you're done, right? That's how we would like a plan, right? Be honest. I like a plan. But God's plan is not that way. God's plan is sometimes full of valleys. Sometimes God's plan is full of mountaintops. Sometimes there's pits. Maybe your plan was to get on a bicycle for your journey. Suddenly find yourself in a boat somewhere. This is not what I signed up for. But that's God's plan. That is God's intent. And that is God's design. But in the background of this, we need to let Jeremiah's words echo in our ears this morning. We need to understand that God has a plan. He makes promises. In fact, there's three very specific promises he makes in this plan. And so we're going to spend some time, you know, in this. You know, Solomon even said, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So where are you at right now? And is this part of God's plan? And so we understand that there's something going on. And so his letter was meant to encourage the people to have faith in God. And we need to be reminded the same way today. We need to have faith in God. But we have an advantage over the people of Jeremiah's day. We have Jesus, right? Everything that God had planned and promised has been fulfilled in Jesus. So there's a part of any time we proclaim from the Word of God, we need to always bring it back to Jesus, right? He is our hope. He's the source of it all. And so this morning, let's just look at, you know, the fact that God has these plans toward us. In fact, in that same letter, you know, the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, peace of not of evil, to give you a future and hope. And so God first promises peace. I said before, and I say it again, no one's ever told me in my life, Mark, I have too much peace. Can you tell me how to get rid of it? I think people aspire and want more peace. This is a verse that comes out and rings out on greeting cards and sentiments during the holiday season. But it's taken from Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wasn't that the proclamation to the shepherds? Something wonderful happened in Bethlehem, didn't it? So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his followers, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world does, gives do I give to you. Not as the heart, let not your heart, not I give to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is Jesus encouraging his followers on the night that something they could not even comprehend was going to happen. That he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be taken and beaten and put before a mock trial. And before the weekend was up, he was going to be crucified and resurrected. But they couldn't even comprehend it, but he's telling them, he says, listen, I'm leaving you my peace. I'm giving this. I'm not giving the peace as the world gives. The world's peace, as long as everything's hunky-dory, we got peace, right? But Jesus says it's not always that way. Remember, God's plan is not a straight plan always. Sometimes there's challenges along the way. And so we recognize this and we sing about it, don't we? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's from what a friend we have in Jesus. Sometimes we sing the answers to our problems, solutions that we need to hear. God chose this medium to be a part of our worship for a reason. Sometimes lyrically we can sing and say together the things that we need to live out together. If I don't have peace, is it because I'm forfeiting it? Because I don't take it to God in prayer? Am I not recognizing that God has a plan? And God has a promise. And He promises ultimate peace. Am I not understanding that prayer and peace go hand in hand? God told Jeremiah that prayer was essential to seeing out His plan. In that same letter, that letter He wrote to these captives in Babylon, He says this. God says to them, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Whatever peace that you don't have is because you're not seeking the right person to give it to you. God says, you're going to get there, and it's going to be bad. Jesus says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It's going to be tough at times. But God says, seek me, pray to me, talk to me. And you'll find me. Paul talked to a bunch of people in Athens, Greece. They were at this place where people worshiped the different gods. And he explained to them that there was one true God. And he says, we grope and look for him, but the reality is he's not far from each one of us. Again, I don't know where you feel like in your relationship with God this morning. Do you feel like it's right? Do you feel like it's good? Or are you waiting to make a relationship with Him this morning? But there is a part of you that will not be settled. Do you commit yourself to Him? Many of us can remember the moment we made the decision to confess Jesus as Savior, buried with Him in baptism, and we realize an instantaneous feeling that we came out of the water. It was right. It was good. I made the right decision. And so this morning that we recognize that God says, listen, you know, I want to give you peace, but there's some of this on your end. You've got to approach me in prayer. You've got to seek me. And we have that access through His Son, Jesus Christ. I came across this some time ago. I've tried to attribute where it came from. Actually, I saw it in a movie clip, and then I tried to trace the source down, and I can't really find it. Attribute to different folks, one to a mystic and so forth. But the question was put to this religious person: does God answer prayers? Does God answer prayers? And he said, I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me stronger. I asked for wisdom and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for courage and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love and God gave me troubled people to help. Yes, my prayers were answered. God answers prayers. So it's this relationship. The peace that we forfeit is because very often we don't give it to the Prince of Peace. The source to everything is the right relationship with the Lord. It's the starting point. And so your plan is, you know, hey, you know, the finish line, right? But God says, no, I want more for you than that. I want a deep faith. I want you to know me. I want you to know my son. And so God's plan strengthens us. God's plan wants us to move all of our spiritual muscles. Have you ever, you know, did a task around home, around the farm, around the house, whatever, and you used muscles you hadn't used in the while, and they told you about it the next day or 2 days after? That lactic acid built up and you were just sore? I think spiritually speaking, we all have atrophy areas in our life. And God says, you want to know peace? I got to show you some challenges along the way. I need for you to be in a place where you want to speak to me. I need you some challenging situations to see what forgiveness looks like. I want you to grow. I want you to get stronger. And you can imagine those two characters, one that had the little incline, the other person who went up down the valleys and the mountains across the water, how much more strength they had. It's not because God is punishing us. It's because God is blessing us. And so we look in the passage, God promises a future. I mean, he says it. I mean, I promise you a future. Being confident of this very thing, that he's begun a good work in you, will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. That God says, I've started with something with you, and I'm not done yet. Each of you, as Paul says to the church of Corinth, are living epistles. You're all letters. You're all stories to the world around you, the people you come in contact with. Some of the stories may be sort of charming. Some of the stories may be sort of sad and challenging and troubled. But as Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Folks, church, we're not ready to throw the flag of surrender. This story is just being told. If an exiled people can be brought back and reestablish a city that our Savior would walk through and said he winked over, he can take us all to a different place. And so, John chapter 14, that same night, Jesus is telling them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is the future. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, you may come again. I will come again, receive myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's a future, folks. That's a future. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3-4, blessed be the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and what does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You ever been maybe to a fancy dinner, you've seen one portrayed on television or whatever, maybe a wedding reception, and they had a name card at each place setting. Told you where you're going to sit. There's a place reserved for you. You did your RSVP and they had a name card filled out for you. Peter says, for those who understand this, that understand that we have this living hope, because of Jesus that you have a reservation. You have a reservation. It's a muchly desired reservation, but you have it. And so this is the promise. This is the promise of future. And last, which that verse led to, is God promises hope. So, again, Ephesians, which sounds a whole lot like what Peter says. Blessed be the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What are you here for? Much of us have spent several minutes of our life watching and rewatching. Some of you may have read the book, Forrest Gump. What was Forrest Gump's big question to Mama? What is my destiny? What is my destiny? And we see this man who is both physically and cognitively challenged go to places in this life that we just, you know, wow. It's a fictionalized account. But nonetheless, we perceive that there is this unseen destiny. We get it. And entertain people. That sometimes seemingly you're moving through life and you're not making any what you realize is significant contributions, but looking retrospectively back over it, it was very important. We've not done it yet. It was on the other night, but we said it's a little bit much to sit in for. But, you know, isn't that the story of It's a Wonderful Life? George Bailey gets a retrospective look at his life and say, man, you know, had you not been here, here's what would have happened to the lives of other people. Every one of us has that story. And so we understand that God has chose us before everything got broken. He chose you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants for you to experience his peace, to accept the future he's planned, and to live in hope. Blessed be the God and the Father, Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, begotten us again to a living hope, alluded earlier, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul in the book of Romans, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked in class this morning about the theology of grace and faith that Paul presents in the book of Romans, but no less important is theology of the Spirit. That we who have hope have it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The reality of that it brings to joy and brings to peace. We don't access that enough and contemplate that enough. I love John. A little humor in that. John's favorite word, I think, is love. It's used a lot in his writing. I love this, though. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I love that. John says, we don't know yet. And now this is the guy who had the revelation, okay? We just don't know yet how he was going to appear when he appears, but we know when he appears, we're going to be just like him, and we're going to know him, and he's going to know us. And because of this hope, you live a life worthy of that. So I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe your plan is trekking along just fine. Or maybe you're in a valley. Or maybe the road is rocking. Or maybe you're just trying to balance. Or maybe sometimes you feel like you're in it over your head. Not because God doesn't have a plan. It's not because God does not have a future. It's not because God doesn't offer hope. The reality of it is that God's plan is strengthening us and preparing us for the next thing. We have to trust God's plan. So what we're asked to do, I mean, that's what we're challenged to do. This morning, Brother Eric has chosen a song to sing. It's a space and time to respond. If we can assist you in any way, I want you to come as we stand and sing the song.